This is The Wine Guy on 92.1 WGHN. I'm your host, Jesse Bruce. And every week on the show, we are joined by our good friend, Mr. Jeff Kretschmar. He is the sommelier out there at the Grand Haven D&W. And we talk about pairings, okay? We talk about pairing wine with food. We talk about pairing beers with food. We talk about pairing
bourbon
with food, everything. It's all about pairings the thing. We just don't sit here and drink on the show. Well, we do that, but we just don't do that because we also want you to know if you pair it with something, it could taste different. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have a special guest joining us, and we do have a special guest joining us. This is Zach White. He is the regional marketing manager for Monster Brew. And now, Zach, again, when we're talking about Monster, this is the same Monster we're used to with the big M on the cans and stuff like that, but they have a whole other entity. Explain to folks what that entity
is. Indeed. So how this all started was going back probably 5-6 years now. It started as a craft collective. So Perrin Brewing Company in Comstock Park and Oscar Blues Brewing Company in Boulder, Colorado, bought into each other and entered into a partnership that became Canarchy Brewing Company. Over the past 6-7 years, they've acquired 4 other breweries that joined into the collective, which encompasses pretty much the whole country at this point. We've got Cigar City in Tampa, Florida, the aforementioned Perrin and Oscar Blues. We also have a brewery in Texas called Deep Ellum, and 2 breweries in Utah, which I believe are the 2 oldest breweries in Utah, Squatters and Wasatch.
Mm-hmm.
So collectively, we are 6 breweries, as well as all of Monster's alcohol equity brands. So you've probably seen the Beast Unleashed, Nasty Beast, all that stuff. Yep. Anything that's got an M-Claw and alcohol on it, an M-Claw and alcohol in it, we deal with.
Yeah, those the alcohol ones I've seen have been really popular lately.
Yep.
They've been pulling out, and I do believe it's part of the marketing of the regular, Monster.
Absolutely. Right. Yep, Monster is they're a marketing company first and foremost. Produce some great liquid, but they've built a brand over the past couple decades, and it resonates with consumers. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly what we saw the first year with the Beast Unleashed. It was the number one new FMB in that category, so flavored malt beverages. And we've got more stuff coming. It's a company that likes to innovate. They've definitely injected some of that innovation into our breweries.
Mm-hmm.
They do also do a really good job, though, of drawing a pretty firm line in the sand between their brands as well as the craft breweries that are kind of operating still under that umbrella, but still have a lot of anonymity, I guess, to make decisions on their own.
Yes, and then as we've always talked about, and I told, and I've explained to you and stuff, it's smelling. Mm-hmm. Remember how I said smelling is a big part of, all the tastings and stuff. Today we're going to do a little test for you, Mr. Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is, and I noticed that you are a Pepsi drinker, am I correct?
Yes, I enjoy Pepsi.
So you're a Pepsi drinker.
Yeah.
So you're able to tell me the difference between a Pepsi and a Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Straight on.
Not a problem, straight on. All right. Well, first of all, I brought you in a blindfold here.
Okay.
And I want you to blindfold yourself.
This is a rather hippie-looking blindfold here. All right, hang on a second. Let me take off my headset here. This looks like it came off my grandmother. Oh, you really can't see in this thing.
Oh.
Okay. Well, how the hell am I?
Right.
All right.
We'll help you out. We'll be your guide.
All right, here we go. Okay.
So we're going to. Okay. Here. Now, here's the first one. I want you to taste the first one.
All right. So, where's my. Is,
right there.
Okay, now this is. What am I drinking?
Hold on. Okay. I'm not telling you what you're drinking. You're going to tell me.
Oh, I tell you.
You go ahead and give it a smell.
Like, oh, okay. I can take my nose out.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
take a swig of this.
Go ahead and give it a taste.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would that be Pepsi or would that be Coke?
Hmm. Well,
so let me give you the second one here while you're thinking about that one.
Sure.
Taste this one.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
Taste that one.
Your message seems to be referencing
There's my.
I think this one's Pepsi. I think this one's Pepsi.
Okay, you are absolutely right.
I see the
right
screenshot you provided.
Thank you. And the phone liked it too. Okay, so
you
this
are
one is.
Absolutely
this is,
right
this,
on that one.
This is Pepsi.
That is correct.
Right hand is Pepsi.
Yep, right there.
There you go.
And you are okay.
And
my hand looked back.
Okay.
And what? Now, hand me the other one.
All right, the Coke.
Okay.
All right.
Now I'm going to mix these up.
Okay.
Now what I want you to do is I want you to plug your nose when you taste these, okay?
Yeah.
And then you tell me which one is Pepsi and which one is Coca-Cola.
Jeez.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that.
We're doing the smelling.
We're, trust me, we're going somewhere with this segment. Okay.
All right.
All right, put some in my hand. Okay, here we go. All right, so that's the first one. So I'm plugging my nose. Here we go.
And now here's the second one.
That tasted totally different. Okay.
And here's the second one.
Thank you very much. Okay. Boy, that's tough. I'm going to go. I'm going to say that. Can I unplug my nose now?
You can unplug your nose.
I'm going to say this one's Coca-Cola.
You say that one's Coca-Cola?
I think so.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take off your blindfold and take a look.
All right. Well, one's orange and...
That's correct. Now, your first taste, you tasted Pepsi.
Yeah, and Coke.
And then you went ahead and had Coke, and you were able to pick out which one was Pepsi.
Yes.
Then what I did was I took the Coca-Cola out of there when you plugged your nose.
Yes.
But you couldn't smell it.
Yes.
And then I transferred the Fanta.
Yeah.
In there.
Oh, the old Fanta. Oh, yeah. And I like Fanta.
Right. But you couldn't tell the difference.
Because I couldn't smell the orange.
Because you couldn't smell, which is the whole reason is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Smell makes all the difference.
It so definitely does. It
for
definitely
people who
do.
Don't smell their food and don't smell their drinks and stuff, they don't get the full process.
Full thing.
It. Right.
Well, we've learned something on the show today.
Yeah.
All right. Because I got to admit, for the first 2 minutes there, I wondered where we were going. Okay. Well, let's fire up some of the good stuff there in the silver cans.
So, Zach, where should we start out with first?
Yeah, let's start light and easy and then work our way to the darker stuff.
No blindfold here.
Yeah, so we'll start with a new beer from Perrin. This is Cast a Lime.
Cast a Lime.
Is a Mexican-style lager or cerveza.
Ah, cerveza.
Yep, we've got lime and sea salt in this one, so... Nice aromatics to it. We're using
Yeah. So this is your...
I call this a good porch beer. Patio.
Yes.
Yep. Really great summer beer.
Oh, yeah. That's a summer.
I'm going to go by the flavor here, but the smell, I immediately associate this with Mexican food. Yeah, that's pretty close. Now, like we talk about lawn beer and stuff like that, this is a little different. To me, like if we're going to have like a big plate of nachos, we're eating Mexican, we're getting a big handful of this stuff right here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right here. It has a bit more of a bold flavor profile than your typical Mexican beer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a little bit more kind of, we wanted this to still kind of have the fingerprints of a craft brew.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that super light, basically barely any flavor. There's still quite a bit of flavor in this beer.
And you definitely taste that lime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the lime in there.
But not overpowering.
No, not at all.
No.
But, I mean, it's got that hint. You can tell it's kind of got that little hint of over there.
It's like a shadow.
Yeah. Yes.
Like a shadow from the moon. Like
the next beer is a really good example of that as well.
Okay.
We'll work into kind of one of the things that Perrin, in my time working for these guys and even before, so Perrin's always done a fantastic job with fruit in beer. In any sense, they really show a great amount of restraint when adding this. I mean, you can dump loads of fruit into a beer and cover up a lot of not so great things.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that Perrin does a fantastic job of is letting that beer still shine through. You still know you're drinking a beer. You're not drinking a fruit smoothie. You're drinking, something that is, there's a little bit of restraint, like I said, kind of with those, the flavors that they add to this. And it's more of a something to help accent and accentuate rather than just overpower.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And I think they did a fantastic job with Cast a Lime. So this is a beer, actually, like I said, it's brand new. We just launched it here for the summer. Right now, it's a draft only beer. It's only available right now in draft. We're going to be launching it in cans this fall. It'll be available in 6-packs and 15-packs. I think we've already kind of had some conversations with the D&Ws and stuff like that. We should probably start seeing those once resets start coming around. So probably September, October or so. So this beer, the one thing we're going to kind of try and do with it too is it's going to be a year-round beer. So we're going to have a really neat kind of play with the label here. Dealing with radio, you guys can't see what the can looks like, but... What we're kind of calling out on this right now is obviously something a lot of Michiganders do, which is go out and cast a line and fish.
Mm-hmm.
And so the can's got a really, nice little backdrop, kind of Michigan lake on it. And then as we pivot and move into the colder months, that can is going to change over to ice fishing.
It's got the fishing on there right now.
Yeah, it'll be something. First time Perrin's really done anything with a single brand. We do a couple other things with a couple of our IPAs where we rotate, but those are generally different beers.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of having a summer and a winter thematic to this beer in this can. And we're looking forward to seeing what this beer does. Okay. I think it's a beer that it's great on the patio in the summer, but also is going to be a pretty good year-round drinker.
Okay. And now because I've been smelling the soup here for about 20 minutes. So now we're going to have some. This is from D&W, what we're going to have here. This is white chicken chili soup with bean.
That's correct.
White chicken chili soup with bean. All right, here we go.
Got a little pepper in there. A little heat, probably from the peppers, the red peppers.
That is a perfect pairing right there for something like that. The lime.
Oh, yeah.
Pile it off.
Ooh.
There you go. Yeah, done.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
It makes the
peppers peppery, but it's a different kind of peppery.
Yeah, it's kind of more of a white pepper as opposed to a dark pepper.
Yeah.
Black pepper.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not like a
yeah.
Hand gesture is what I'm making on the radio. No, it's like a little, it's a little thing. Oh, that's quite refreshing. That's quite nice.
Hats off to you. That is a fantastic pairing between the two.
Oh, that's why he's a sommelier.
Yeah.
I like that.
And it just brings out that pepper around there with a hint of that lime.
Yeah.
Okay. And, as you know, with lime, lime's got its own little, tang to it. And that brings it out. That's really a good flavor pairing on that.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Boy.
Okay.
All right. Now I'll go ahead and try some of the blueberry pie. There, Michigan little blueberry pie. As well as we do have the steakhouse potato salad.
I'll try one. You try the other.
All right.
So you want to do the potato salad? I'll do the pie because I like sweet things.
I see. Yeah, I see. You pulled a chocolate bar closer to you.
Well, we'll work up to that. All right. So this is blue. And again, everything here we're having is with
D&W.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
When the beer hit the blueberry, it went like this. It made a big blue.
That's
like
kind of pot from the acidity in the lime.
There you go. He's using scientific words.
Yeah, that's always a good pairing. I think my mom was always one of the ones that anytime she was using blueberries or something like that, lemon was always something she'd throw into that as well.
Good stuff.
Just that little kind of tang from the acidity really helps get that blueberry to pop.
Right. Especially if they just add it just a little bit on the crust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On there and it really picked up. And then with the steakhouse potatoes here, that was good. I like that combination. It would the creaminess of the salad here really kind of tamed down nice, and then the beer just kind of really like mellowed it. It wasn't like overpowering your mouth. I don't feel like it's weighing me down. It wasn't heavy on my tongue. It was just nice and smooth, and I'm saying that's really good. Mm-hmm. That was a good pairing.
Good pairing. Yep. Let's do another pairing. Let's fire something up here. Let's get the next one.
So next one we'll go into is going to be probably Dream Seeker here.
Dream
so
Seeker.
This is a beer that was previously known as Raspberry Blonde from Perrin, which has been around for quite a while. This was one of our most popular beers in the tap room. So much so that we decided to finally give it a name and put it into a can.
Mm-hmm.
The first iteration of this beer in cans, unfortunately, was a little disappointing, I think, to some of the consumers that were familiar with the Raspberry Blonde of old. And one of the biggest reasons, we're talking about drinking, and consuming food or anything with our senses. Another big sense that we use when we consume food and beverage is our eyes. One of the initial issues with this beer when we first gave it a new name and rebranded it and started producing it on a more larger level than what we were doing just in the tap room was that it went from being what you guys are seeing now, which is this kind of lovely pinkish raspberry hue, to looking pretty much exactly like the cerveza that we poured previously.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of caused a bit of an uproar as far as the people that were familiar with the beer, because to them it was a different beer.
Mm-hmm.
And flavor wise it hasn't changed much, but really what changed was we were making so much of it that raspberries that we're adding to it, that was adding that wonderful color. Same amount in a much larger batch just wasn't doing the trick for adding color to this beer.
Now the raspberries there, are they from the Colorado area?
These ones we pick and choose. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head generally where they come from. We've got a pretty good team. What they do is kind of shop around trying to get the best product they possibly can at the best price, obviously, sure. too, when we're brewing. Want to make sure that we keep this stuff cost effective, too.
For as hazy as it is right there, I don't know if I look at this and this is the smell of real raspberry on there, I would almost picture this as a sour.
Yeah, know? I mean, I could definitely see it, especially for how it appears, but it's definitely a blonde base beer, so it's pretty tame. You get a little bit of that tartness from the raspberry. But the base beer itself is just kind of a very generic raspberry, just blonde beer.
Okay, yeah. Now he said tart. I did not get tart on my little palate. First of all, the color, it's like a pink. It looks like the kind of thing that you'd get like at a tiki bar. Okay, yep. But to me, this is sweet. Yep. Okay,
definitely sweet.
Not like a Capri Sun, but I mean, it's just sort of like, you know, something a little light you'd have at the beginning.
A little jammy almost.
Yeah.
I like that beer is a little bit lighter than some of the other comparable brands that are in the market. Some of them I think are very, very fruit forward. Mm-hmm. This one still sweet for sure. Not too heavy on the raspberry. Like I said, a little bit of restraint with the fruit, but definitely still quite a bit.
I get that, you know, it's light and it's, you know, got that little sweet, as you're saying. To me, it reminds me of a the wine coolers.
This is a beer really for nice. Me. One of my favorite things to do with this beer was always to turn it into a shandy.
Yeah.
This is a beer that lends itself to lemonade pretty easily. Mm-hmm. So kind of that 50-50. It's a lighter beer, too, 4.8%. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a lawnmower beer. Have a couple of them.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of like to cut that sweetness a little bit with some lemonade and add some of that tartness to it. Fantastic beer. Like I said, it's been around for a while from Perrin. It's been Dream Seeker for a couple years now.
Yeah.
We'll go
exactly.
ahead.
Exactly. So I just had some with the white chicken. The soup. Mm-hmm. Yeah, white chicken bean.
Soda.
And boy, it really tamed down. The raspberry became like a luscious raspberry. Mm. It didn't have that, you know, I did get the tartness. I know you didn't, Jesse.
No.
But I did. I got that little tartness on there.
Yeah.
But with the soup, took that away, and boy, did it really bring the soup. The chicken. The chicken was just...
Well, yeah. Now, that's what I said. Now, mine was still sweet. But what it did was it made it more full. And, like, now I can taste the chicken on the top of my mouth.
Yep.
This is just like I've just been eating a piece. Like, the soup just disappeared, and I'm just eating a piece of chicken. But it was good chicken. It was good chicken. So,
yeah.
Food science here on the show. Doing a little food science on the show. Okay.
Very good.
You want to go back to your potato salad? I'll go back. I like the pie. I'm going to stick with the pie. There we go.
Sit there.
Woo! Boy, that was cool. So that was like an amplifier.
Yeah.
That hit the berry and just, boom. Like a big bloom of flavor in my mouth. I like that quite a bit.
Yeah.
That was good.
Definitely came to a nice medium tenderness on the potatoes. And that really, the smokiness from the smokehouse and the potato popped out. Mm-hmm. It's like a raspberry smoke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, kind of that sweetness with a little bit of smokiness there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Really kind of calls out the smokehouse barbecue almost.
And also going back to the pie, it brings out the butter and the crust.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can taste the butter very, 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 very prominently. But again, this is a very, like he said, it's very light. This would be a lawnmower beer. This would be one that you could mow the lawn and continue.
Yeah.
Yes, as we talk, because we use mowing the lawn as kind of an analogy about where you could drink your beverages.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some you have after you've mowed the lawn. Some you can have while you're taking a break mowing the lawn. Some you could have while you're mowing the lawn. This would probably be while you're mowing the lawn. So.
Absolutely.
And then there's some that you have while your wife is telling you about how you mow the lawn.
That's right. Or there's some you've had and you're laying on your lawn. Yes, so there you go. All right.
Yeah, we definitely make a couple of those as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
But very nice flavor. I enjoyed that. That's quite nice.
And like kind of something we had been tweaking here over the last couple of years and really wanted to get it back to the raspberry blonde that people are familiar with. And so that color, that flavor, that lusciousness that beer had.
Yeah.
And that's what we've kind of, I think, gotten into here now.
Okay.
What's in the can.
All right.
In 2025.
This looks like a Coca-Cola right here. And what do we have now?
This is Perrin Black. So this is kind of our flagship beer.
Mm-hmm.
Not kind of. This is absolutely our flagship beer, I think.
And that's one of our big sellers there at D&W, that's for sure.
Yeah, when I'm out and about, I think most people, when they see the Perrin tap handle or the logo, they generally assume that it's Perrin Black. And it's definitely by far and away our best-selling beer. It pours, obviously,
It looks like a stout.
Dark, looks like a stout or a porter. Looks like you're holding something that's going to be rich and like eating a piece of cake.
It's going to be like a Guinness. You know, you're thinking it's like a Guinness, you know, like a real thick Guinness. But as I swirl it around, and I look at this, and I look at the side legs, I notice that it's not a Guinness, and it's a little lighter. But yeah, I mean, just on first looks.
Yep. One of the things that we really tried to do with this beer, and I think one of the reasons why it first took off is the fact that you get all these wonderful roasted, toasted notes with this beer,
mm-hmm.
but you get a really light and approachable drinking experience.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like drinking a heavy stout or a porter or any of those barrel-aged mm-hmm. beers. You still get these nice dark notes that you would expect from those styles, but with a very light body, a great drinkability. It's a beer that I think, moving into kind of younger generations that are now coming into consuming, you know, beer, we kind of need to continue to tell the story of what Perrin Black is. And it is that kind of catch 22 of a beer. You'd expect to have all this dark and heaviness to it, and it is a beer that you can put a six pack down of pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
What are you getting on the nose here?
I smell a place. I get if you're out somewhere like in a beer garden or you're out somewhere where they're serving beer, I smell that. That's just my two pennies.
I got some cocoa out of there.
Lots of malty flavors in a row. Yeah. When you're dealing with this beer, there's a lot of dark malts that we use to create that color.
Now, that it's a very light, because the mm-hmm. thing, it, you know, when I looked at this, I thought, like, the first thing I thought were those big, thick oatmeal beers. That's the first thing that came to my mind, because it had a thick head on it. It's very dark. But when mm-hmm. you drink it, it's all, to me, and I don't drink a lot of coffee. I don't drink much coffee at all. I get a little coffee on this.
Yeah. So we don't put coffee in the beer.
No, okay.
No. That's something that we're able to do. Our brewers, like I said, Perrin, the little things that they do so well, little kind of nuances within the beer, that's all malt.
Yeah.
So different malts that our brewers use, they use a lot of dark roasted malts to kind of get that color and the flavorings into this beer without having to add adjuncts like coffee or cocoa or anything like that, which helps also keep the beer light.
But yeah, I was going to say, because it's not heavy, it's not thick, it's not anything like that. It's just, you know, down
the hatch. This would be a great summer. Now, I'm more like a seasonal, you know, type like both, you know, beer guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like my, you know, lighter IPAs, you know, during the summertime, my stouts and my porters during fall and the wintertime. I can definitely see this all year long.
Yeah.
Because it's just not, mm-hmm. like I said, it's by characteristic, by looking at it, it's deceiving, but by taste and stuff, it's impressive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's got it right on the can. I was looking for that. Counterintuitive is what I was, kind of the broader term that I was looking for. Yeah. When you see this beer, you're thinking all of
one
those,
thing.
You know, heavy, oh man, I'm only going to be able to have one of these and mm-hmm. I'm going to be full. And that's just not what Perrin Black is. It's a black ale. It's light. It is pretty refreshing for having some of those darker and roastier flavors to it, and very, very drinkable.
Pepper. This mm-hmm. this cultivates the pepper in the soup. This makes the pepper pop.
This soup and this beer right here, mm-hmm. what I want to do right now mm-hmm. is go camping and sit by a fire.
Yep.
That's exactly what I want to do right now. That is such a really good, and we'll grab my the lime light right there, the lime lager, and mm-hmm. bring my fishing pole.
Okay, and then
is really good.
Because of the cocoa, I want to try a piece of the chocolate.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh yes.
And I think that might heighten that a little bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's great bonfire beer.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh yeah.
All right.
That's the hazelnut butter dark chocolate.
Yeah, and again, everything we're eating here and everything we're drinking here is available at your Grand Haven D&W. So here we go. Or it's got a little chocolate in between the chocolate. Mm-hmm. So there's chocolate and there's chocolate between the chocolate.
Yeah, got mm-hmm. the hazelnut butter in between.
Mmm!
Almost like a...
like a cake.
Or like a Reese's Hershey.
Now, we've been down this road before, because that really brings out the chocolate. Like, you had a little piece of chocolate in the back of your mouth, then you take a swig of that, and it's boom, right there in the front.
And the hazelnut really comes out
on
that.
Yeah,
this is definitely a beer that really helps enhance kind of those. It's a great beer that helps enhance depth of flavor
mm-hmm.
with food. This is a beer that lends itself really well to cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I add it to chili. I've used it to a steak marinade as well. It's a great beer that can add a lot to, just like I said, add a lot of depth to your food as you add it.
Leaves a nice aftertaste too.
Yeah. I'm actually going to have a little bit more of that because I did not taste it out with the
potato salad. Go ahead.
I'm thinking this is going to go good with the steakhouse.
I would think so too. Yeah.
Fantastic pairing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. And you haven't tried that yet.
I'll try a little bit. There you go. Ooh, light. That's light. Very light.
Yep.
And I can taste the bacon. Very pronounced.
Yes. I'm just going to say I got bacon, like almost like it's got bacon juice.
Yeah.
Like the grease.
Yeah. like you're on the far side of the skillet. Just exactly. But it was good. I mean, it wasn't overpowering.
Oh no, not at all.
Good stuff.
But it's got, it just lingers, and it just, like, right now, my mouth is coated with it.
Yes.
Now that's good.
Good stuff.
That's
good stuff. Well, folks, this is The Wine Guy here on 92.1 WGHN. We had a very special guest with us this week, Mr. Zach White. He's the regional marketing manager for Monster Brew. If people want to learn more about what's going on with Monster or anything like that, or your products, I mean, I said they can go to D&W, they can pick up the Perrin line, but if they just want to learn more about what's going on, where's the best place to go?
Best couple of places, obviously, Perrin Brewing Company has their website, perrinbrewing.com. Monster Brewing as a whole, we do have a website as well, monsterbrewing.com. Kind of speaks to pretty much most of the products we have. Each one of the breweries has their own individual kind of website, Instagram, Facebook, which are probably the best places to go to see what's coming and what's new.
Yeah, they're pretty much on top of things. They got everything.
They do a pretty good job with marketing. Perrin, we're kind of getting caught up with some of that right now, and we're gonna have some fun stuff that we're kind of gonna be announcing here over the next couple months, and things that we're moving and changing. We've got a seasonal beer that we did not release last year that I think a lot of people were up in arms about, which was the grapefruit ale, which is going to actually be making a comeback this year.
Okay,
it'll be a draft only. We're gonna do a limited time offer of that beer for the summer here. Probably should be seeing it coming out around probably a little bit after the 4th of July.
And they'll be able to find that out on the website here in Grand Haven.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, we've got a great beer finder
on the
website that pretty much tells you anywhere and everywhere you can go to find our product.
Okay,
great.
All right. Well, again, as always, we have a little special we throw in here at the tail end of the show for those you like to listen. We greatly appreciate that. We put the show up about a day before, sometimes a little earlier than that. It runs, and you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/921WGHN. And when you go, this, I believe, is episode 12 of The Wine Guy. You'll look for that, and all you have to do is like the post. Just like the post is all you need to do. And if you do, you're automatically in the running for a $20 D&W gift card, and then we'll pick that winner sometime over the weekend, just a random choice, and then that person can go into the store and pick up that $20 gift card at the courtesy desk and get anything they want at the Grand D&W.
And they don't, not only, they don't have to just like the show. I mean, they can go ahead and like me. They can like you, Jesse.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, everybody likes you, so we should get lots of hits.
We should. But the main reason is, and if you do win, okay, and even if you don't win, you should still go in and check out all the selection they have, all the wines, all the beers. Jeff's over there roaming around. He's there every day except Wednesday and Sunday. And if you have a question, ask him about pairings. That's what he's known for. That's what the show is about. It's about pairings. So, for example, if you're having a party or graduation party and you're saying, well, we're serving blank, 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 he'll say you should serve that with that. It'll make this flavor and it'll make all that good stuff happen. Alrighty, folks, this is The Wine Guy on 92.1 WGHN. I'm your host, Jesse Bruce. And remember, there's a story in every pour.